Something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Murray here, and I'm delighted to have Sienna Moorcroft on the line from Repro Med. Hi Sienna, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm just admiring your beautiful name, absolutely gorgeous. Now, you are a fertility specialist with Repro Med, and basically they're really kind of raising awareness at the moment about fertility with the hashtag Let's Talk Fertility, and urging women to take their fertility health and reproductive future into their own hands, because it happens all the time, isn't it? You kind of don't really think about it, and the next thing you're like, oh, maybe I should have done something before now. So I guess in the last couple of years you've seen a big increase, haven't you, in the amount of women contacting RepromeD to find out more.
Fantastic. Yeah, exactly. So I suppose we're definitely seeing an increased amount of women contacting the clinic, just curious about what they should do just to preserve their fertility. It's a discussion that most women will have at some stage in their life, whether they'd have a baby or whether they wouldn't. And this is kind of usually talked about, you know, in your 20s and 30s, but we're not really often ready to conceive at that point. But that's actually the optimum time that we should be thinking about our fertility and what steps that we could possibly take to protect our fertility for the future, or, you know, protect our family planning. And I think there's so much emphasis over the years. I mean, I think back to when we were in school, so much emphasis on not getting pregnant and how to ensure that we don't come home and tell our parents that we have a positive test. But there's not really much talk, and it's getting better, but there's never really much talk about what we do to protect our fertility, because it's something that's so important to all of us. Mm. And I think it's just to promote that choice. What we're trying to say is information is key. And I think it's amazing to have choices. And then when you have all the information, then you can make the right choices that are for you, you know, and that's individualized, obviously. Mm. But we're trying to kind of get people talking about it so it becomes normal, and it becomes just something that's a familiar discussion and that we have with our friends and our families.
So the way people talk about, you know, organizing their pension, it's about kind of future planning, isn't it? It really is about future proofing. Yeah. So when you say about how we can protect our fertility, what kinds of things can we do? And are there tests that we can have done, for example, to check how things are?
Yes, exactly. So in order to protect your fertility, the one thing we would always suggest would be, you know, stop smoking, because we know that that does have a negative impact on our fertility. So if you were somebody that was interested in looking at, you know, getting some tests done, all they really need to do is just fill in a triage form online, and then someone from our clinic will contact them and book them in for a couple of tests and then a review consultation with one of the doctors. So the tests are really simple. Usually it's just a blood test where they check what they call an AMH, which is your egg reserve. So it doesn't tell us the quality of your eggs, it just tells us quantity. So we know when you're in your 20s or even indeed in your 30s, the likeliness is that your egg reserve will probably come back as a really reassuring level. But the good part of that is that the quality should still be good in that age group. We know as you get older, your egg reserve does decline, and that's normal. So you'll have less eggs as you get older. But unfortunately, the quality can also decrease then as well. So that's why we're trying to promote this campaign at, like, people in their 20s and 30s, when we know they're typically, they should have a better egg reserve at that age, but also the quality should be better. So that's the time that you really need to kind of think about, if you are going to freeze your eggs, it's the optimum time to do it. It's not to say that if you were, you know, in your late 30s and early 40s that you wouldn't conceive. I mean, absolutely. You know, you hear people getting pregnant at that stage all the time. But if it's something that's important to you, I think it's just no harm to get the information earlier so that you can make a plan around it.
And Sienna, the egg freezing used to be such an American thing, didn't it? It was like, oh my God, I live in LA, I'm going to like freeze my eggs. But we're hearing about more and more of it now, because obviously as well, you also have women who may have breast cancer or things like that, health issues, and they're looking into that for that reason too.
Yeah, exactly. So egg freezing is something that we're definitely seeing a massive increase in interest in, and we get patients contacting the clinic daily just to find out some information about it. And I think, again, it can be a little bit difficult, because we're still not at the point that we're talking about this openly. So often we have patients coming through to freeze their eggs. They've, you know, got all the information. They've decided they do want to freeze their eggs, but they're still trying to hide it from telling people, and they're a little bit nervous about people knowing. And I think absolutely people are entitled to their privacy, but what we want to get to the point of is that it's quite normal to talk about it, because that way you're kind of, I suppose, in a better position from a support side of things. You know, when people know what you're going through, they're a better position to be able to support you, you know. And I think, again, it's just spreading the awareness, because you don't know, you might end up talking to someone who say, God, I was actually thinking about that, and I'm so reassured to hear you've done it too. So as women, we can really support each other better when we're a bit more open and honest about these things, you know.
Do you find, Sienna, women coming into the clinic to talk to you, and kind of off the record they're saying to you, oh, I'm really worried about this, you know, I would like to have a baby, but my career will go down the tubes if I consider it, or if I do it soon? Are women still worried about that kind of family and work-life balance?
I think so. And I think it's maybe just not having met the right person sometimes. And we know, especially in the last year with COVID, it's been really difficult to get out and actually meet somebody. So people have been really putting a lot of consideration into what they should do in the meantime. And freezing your eggs, there's no, you know, downside to doing it. I mean, except going through the process. Obviously, it might be an inconvenience to you having to come to appointments and things. But, you know, the nurses here are so used to dealing with all walks of life. And we really always just want to know everyone's okay. And we like to create an environment when you come into the clinic that you can have a chat and you can kind of say, look, I'm finding this hard. You'd like to think that, you know, you'd feel supported as you're coming through. So, yes, people would say from a career point of view, but more so, I think, is just not having met the right person yet, but still wanting to kind of, I suppose, protect options for the future.
Yeah.
And by freezing your eggs, you can decide to use donor sperm in the future, you know, and make embryos that way. Or you might meet a partner and make embryos with your partner, you know. So it's just protecting options. And you might even find that you might never use these eggs at all, but you might have that peace of mind just by coming in, getting the test done. And then at least when you have the test done, you kind of think, okay, well, I have these choices and the doctor will go through them with you. And you can just basically decide what's best for you.
Yeah.
And I think it's just having information. And information is key to everything, isn't it?
And is there a cutoff age for that?
There's not really a cutoff age. I think what we would always suggest is to come in and have the test done. And then when you've had your different tests done, such as to check your egg reserve, check your hormones, you know, the doctor will want to see, is there any sort of other factors that may have an impact on your fertility? And the consultation with the doctor really would be to give you statistics. So they'd kind of say, look, you know, there's no test that will guarantee your pregnancy in a few years' time. But by looking at your profile, we'd be able to suggest that this might be an idea for you. And they go through the options. And there is all the options, you know, of saying, I'm not going to freeze my eggs now, I'm going to hold out for a couple of years. And then there's the options of having egg donations, you know, so there's no pressure to just choose freezing your eggs. You can decide to wait, and you may meet someone in that time and never need to come through our doors. Or you might decide to get some information about egg donation if your test has come back, you know, showing that maybe your egg reserve is on the lower side, or perhaps that you are a little bit older, so possibly your egg quality might not be so good. But again, the doctors would expect to have to explain all that to you, you know.
Yeah.
And when you have that time with the doctor will talk you through the best options. And obviously, ultimately, it's up to the person to decide what's best for them.
Do you think, Sianna, now, say, for example, you come across a woman or even a couple and they actually probably are in an okay point in their life to actually go ahead and have a child. Would you be, if they come to you and said about the egg freezing and, oh, maybe we'll do it in 5 years, would you be saying to them, look, if you're in a position now, maybe go ahead and do it now? A lot of people wait and wait, and there's kind of never a good time, I think,
no,
to have a baby.
I know. But it's a huge decision, isn't it? And I think there's often stresses regarding, you know, have we got the right supports in place to start our family? And there's huge pressures, as we know, with housing at the moment, and COVID has put so much uncertainty onto people's lives. So I think, you know, the choice has to be made, obviously, by the couple, but always supported by us. So if someone did say, look, we're in a steady relationship now, and you know, our tests have come back normal, you could give the option to them and say, yes, you know, you can wait a couple of years and you've had the test done and you're kind of reassured by those and we don't anticipate you have any problems. Or there's the option of, you know, coming through and just doing a cycle, see how they get on. They can always have some embryos to freeze, which they can use down the line then as well, you know. So there's always different options. And like I say, I think the more we talk about it, the more people are aware of what's available. And I think even when I started here, I started working with ReFaMed about 10 years ago now. And I remember when I was first here, and patients were coming in saying, God, we've been trying for a pregnancy for years, but our GP kept telling us, no, wait, it will happen, it will happen. And I think there's just a bit more awareness now. So even in the last 10 years, people are kind of a bit more informed themselves, and practice has changed a bit more as well. So we're a bit more in control of what we decide to do. And I think we're all a bit more aware about potential fertility issues as well. So, you know, if someone's been taking the contraceptive pill for years, they get a withdrawal bleed every month, but that's not a period. So then they come off the contraceptive pill, and they don't get a period for a year. So the pill may have masked, you know, a problem, you know. So I think it's again, people just getting a bit more informed. And like you say, you know, you mentioned earlier on about oncology treatment, things like that. We're getting better at noticing like lumps in our breasts and things like that. We should be getting better about talking about our gynae health as well and our fertility health, especially when it's something that's so important to us.
So if you've been trying for a baby, after what length of time should you go and see somebody if nothing's happening?
So if nothing's happening, I would say, you know, 6 months to a year, you could get in touch, make a consultation. It's not committing you to anything. Get your tests done and the doctor would explain the test results to you and go through a plan with you. I mean, if someone's not getting periods at all, then it's probably worth talking to a doctor sooner. But again, you know, it kind of depends on the person's age as well. So, you know, like 20s and 30s, you could try yourselves between 6 months and a year. And if it's still not happening at that point, then you could get in touch. But if you're maybe 40 and you haven't been getting pregnant after a couple of cycles, it's probably better to get in touch sooner, because we know at the age of 40 that your egg reserve is that little bit lower and the quality of your eggs may not be so good. So it's probably better to act a little bit quicker in those kind of circumstances. Okay. Or again, if there's a known fertility issue, you know, so if you've had kind of surgery in the past or you're aware of a fertility issue that you may or may not have, then I think it's better to contact us sooner. So at least we'd be able to support you, because again, this is all very stressful for people. And the more we talk about it, the more you're opening yourself up to supports that are available. And that's what we want to do. We want to be there for people, you know, as they're coming through.
And there's so many people, I think, in the media as well talking about it. I know Alex Jones, who hosts the one show on BBC, she's 44 and pregnant. And mm-hmm. so is Kelly Bright, the actress who plays Linda Carter in EastEnders. She's 44 mm-hmm. now. She had to get a bit of help with IVF to get pregnant. But people are talking more about it. If somebody was 44 and they went to you about getting pregnant, would you mm-hmm. say that's too old, or is that okay?
Again, not necessarily. Like, I think it always goes back to, we don't just look at an age. We have to look at, see what the person's, you know, medical history is, what their blood test going back as. Is there a sperm factor as well? Because sometimes there might be a sperm factor on the male side, do you know? So what we would kind of suggest is, before making any rash decisions about, you know, whether you are going to go to treatment or not, you need to get the information first. And once you have that information, the doctor would be able to go through what they think is best. So at 44 years of age, the chances of conceiving with IVF is less, but it's not impossible. So what the doctor would do is probably talk you through the success rates if you were to go through IVF, and they would compare that then with the success rates if you were to go through egg donation instead. And egg donation would be done here in Ireland now, so it's so much more convenient for patients. The eggs are actually imported into Ireland, so you don't have to travel, which is obviously a massive bonus again with COVID when we're so restricted. So if you were 44 years of age and you decided you did want to do egg donation, what they do is they freeze your partner's sperm, they send it out to our clinic over in Finland, and the embryos are created over in Finland with an egg donor, and then the embryos are brought back into Ireland, and it's a very straightforward cycle to get your embryo replaced here in Ireland as well. So there's some, like, you know, a process involved, like consenting and things like that. But again, that would be the doctor's role to make sure that person has all the information. So yes, you could try with your own eggs and see how that goes. But if you're not pregnant, the plan B would be to consider egg donation, where the chances of success are about 65%. So it's a lot higher than it would be if you were trying with your own eggs at 44.
Wow. Isn't science just amazing? Absolutely incredible. You must get a great kick out of your job, do you, when you see people with their babies at the end?
Oh, do you know, there is very, very few people's workplaces that can influence your life the way we can. And it's such a positive experience. You know, even when patients come through and unfortunately they don't get good news, if they feel that you've done everything for them that can possibly be done, then I smile and I think, okay, we've done what we aimed to do, you know. And I think everyone's different. I mean, what they find hard and what they find easy is different for everybody. So what we would always encourage is that any patient coming through, that we listen to them. We try and always adapt our care to what their needs are. But like I say, you know, it's not always good news for everybody. Now, when it is good news, it's absolutely amazing, because you really do meet these couples for each visit as they're coming through. They get to know you so well. We get to know them so well. So when they phone in and tell us the good news, it's absolutely amazing. And you really do go through the journey with them. And it really makes what you do worthwhile. We do the pregnancy scans here in the clinic as well. And you genuinely, I mean, like I say, I'm here 10 years. And before I do a pregnancy scan, I'm always nervous. I think, please let this be okay. And when it is all right, I mean, it's very emotional, you know, and it's really special. And of course, then once the babies come, they start sending in the photos to us as well. And we love to see them. Unfortunately, with COVID, we haven't got to meet many babies lately. And I'm dying to kind of get them to come in again and meet all these lovely little babies, because you wonder about people years on. You often think, I wonder how that person is now, you know.
Oh, they'd be able to have a conversation with you now, like,
Oh, but you'd be out walking sometimes and people come up to you, do you remember me? Do you remember me? And of course you do, you know, because you've gone through such a significant journey with them. So I think, yes, it's a very rewarding place to work. But even when things don't go well, we're blessed to be in a position that we can do what we can to support people. And hopefully they will always have that as their memory, you know, that everything that could have been done was done. And I think that's important.
You tried everything. Sienna, where are the clinics for ReproMed around the country?
So we have a clinic obviously here in Galway, and then we have one in Dublin, and then we have a clinic in Drogheda as well.
Is there still one in Cork?
One in Cork actually as well, yeah, sorry.
Very good. Okay, well, thank you very much, Sienna Moorcroft there. If anybody wants more details, the website is repromed.ie, isn't it, Sienna?
Yes, that's it, exactly. So just get in touch. You can fill in a triage form online, and then one of our admin team can get in touch with you quite quickly. quickly. They'll book you in for some tests and they'll book a consultation back with the doctor then to explain the results to you.
Brilliant. You're very good. Thanks so much for taking our call today.
Thanks for your time.
Have a lovely weekend. Okay. It's Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.